Let's draw near to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we praise you. We thank you that we may come together again this morning. We may come together to celebrate the true Passover, not the liberation from Egypt, but that from sin and death and the devil, that which, Father, you have set us free in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, may it be a true celebration this morning, that we would rejoice in the wonderful grace that you have won for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. But Father, would you also help us to prepare for this celebration, to seek you earnestly, and to that end, Father, we first of all acknowledge that we are unworthy guests. At the marriage feast of the Lamb, Father, we will acknowledge that it is your invitation that has gone out to the highways and byways to gather in a people who are unworthy of coming to your feast. But Father, as we seek to really celebrate the wonderful victory of Jesus Christ, Father, we also look to you to be the one who will dress us, who will grant us the clothing that we may enter into this marriage feast and never feel ashamed and never feel out of place. That we may do that this morning. And as we come to your table, as we draw near into your presence, we may do so in that name of Jesus Christ, knowing that we have been clothed in his righteousness, that it's his work for us. That is one for us, the invitation. Yes, it's even one for us, the proper attire to come into your presence. May that wonderful news grow within us an eager desire for a hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that we wouldn't seek this righteousness in ourselves, but rather, Father, in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, as you've revealed it to us. Father, we humble ourselves before you. As we've read your law, we recognize how unworthy we truly are. And yet, Father, as we have this wonderful invitation again this morning, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ, that truly all those who cling to you may know that all sins have been forgiven, that a new life has been granted to us, and that we truly are your children, who will be never abandoned nor forsaken, according to your promises and the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, in all of these ways, may you prepare us to truly come before you, to draw near to your holy throne, and to expect every blessing and help in our time of need from your throne. We pray all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. So also here, this wonderful assurance that we find in our form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in so doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Now this morning, as we prepare and listen to God's word, let's also read from Psalm 117. So over the last number of Lord's Suppers, we've been going through what are called the Hallel Psalms, psalms that most likely Jesus would have had on his mind as he celebrated the Lord's Supper, as they were commonly used for that. And this morning, we will turn to Psalm 117. Now, the last Lord's Supper we did 115, but I also know we've looked at Psalm 116 while I've been gone, so we might as well go to Psalm 117 this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 117 is short and sweet. Almost everyone knows that. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some households where if ever, you know, someone asks, what should we read this evening? Or what psalm should we turn to? At least one of the kids says, Psalm 117, because they know it's the shortest one. Or if you've ever said, I'm going to memorize a chapter of scripture, you memorize Psalm 117, because it's the easiest chapter to probably memorize. It's also the shortest. But don't let this short psalm fool you. It has this big message, and an important one. Its main idea is just very clear. Its main idea is, hallelujah. Hallelujah, to use that familiar Hebrew word that just means praise the Lord. That ends this psalm. Now, this psalm fits in its context. All along, in the last number of psalms that we've gone through, they've all ended on praise the Lord. And in fact, Psalm 117 is the seventh psalm in this series that ends on that refrain, praise the Lord. It's kind of then the, in some ways people have said that it's kind of the hallelujah of hallelujahs. An extended hallelujah at the end of these six psalms to just kind of encapsulate it all, put it all together and say exactly why we praise the Lord. So let's consider then this morning, what can this hallelujah of hallelujah psalm teach us this morning? Well, let's begin by just meditating on that main idea, on that phrase, hallelujah. So it's an important phrase. It's a necessary one, but it's also a life-giving and healthy phrase for us. And as the psalm will teach us, an invitation to the world. So first, just consider, it's a life-giving phrase for us. Praise is commanded in Scripture. Praise is necessary, as the Bible teaches us. But praise is also life-giving. It's a sign of spiritual health. Think about it. Think about what it means for any of us to praise the Lord and what it means to sing or to praise or to just say hallelujah. One of the first things that we will realize is that whenever we praise God, we speak truth. And we speak this beautiful, undeniable, never-changing truth. We've all come to worship this morning. There may be all kinds of different things going on in our life. There may be many things that we are not really sure about in our life. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring. Some of us may have just these questions, maybe searching, whether about life or faith. And there may be other things that we this morning we say, yes, we are sure about, but when tomorrow comes, they may be kind of just proven wrong. Because we've been proven wrong before. But whenever we say hallelujah, whenever we praise the Lord, we are in contact with some of the deepest, realest truths that are undeniable, never changing. That as long as God exists, and He's from eternity to eternity, He is worthy of praise. That when we say hallelujah, we may say the truth that He is majestic, that He is glorious, that He is powerful, wise, and good above all, and always and ever worthy of praise for all that He is and all that He has done. It's this unchangeable truth. That when we struggle with the truth or struggle to make sense of either the world or this life, hallelujah, it just grounds us, it anchors us into the eternal truths of a Lord worthy of praise forever and ever. It's not just only true. It's also right or fitting, as you know, Psalm 33 would remind us, that it's fitting. It's fitting for the upright to praise the Lord. We should consider why. It's right that God would be praised by His creatures, by us. Again, we come to church on Sunday with, again, a different week, and there's going to be things that have gone wrong. There's going to be things that we've done wrong. When we say hallelujah, it reminds us of the one clear purpose for which we have been created. The one thing we as believers may say we get right. To give glory to our God. To give glory to our Creator, our Father, our Redeemer, our Comforter. Hallelujah reminds us of our most basic, but at the same time, most glorious calling. To proclaim the goodness of our God. When so many things may be wrong or feel wrong, the Bible encourages us to take to heart that word of praise that is just right, but then also right through and through. To not just anchor us, but to direct us, to guide us in the direction we need to go. Does that challenge you this morning? Does it remind you of what you really may have forgotten? Does it comfort you? Give you joy. That when we sing hallelujah as our deepest truth and highest calling, that we get a sense of why it's so important, but also why it's so healthy and a sign of our spiritual health. That it directs our attention outside of ourselves, outside of this world, to someone who is greater than it all. That it puts life into perspective. That it both grounds us and lifts us up. And that it then may force us to meditate on our relationship with our God. Because that is what it does in Psalm 117. Verse 2 says, "For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." And he uses those common words within the Bible that speak of God's covenant love and faithfulness. The thing that made the relationship with God, His covenant, possible was because God was loving and He was faithful, reliable, being true to that covenant. And since this psalm, as I mentioned, is the seventh hallelujah in this series of psalms, we may just consider this, perhaps just that summary of all of these psalms that have come before. If all that has been true about what God has done for us in this covenant, that He is loving, that He is loyal, and that every previous psalm, the ones that we've looked at, have highlighted something of the goodness of our covenant God. If you reflect back, Psalm 113, where we started, is a beautiful psalm that assures us that God loves and cares for the humble and lowly. Psalm 114 taught us that God's mighty hand that saved His people, who brought them out of Egypt, will also guide them through the desert, that He always goes before His people to make way. Psalm 115, that God is not like the false and dead idols, but He's a living God who grants life and blessing. He gives and gives and gives, that we may be blessed and have life. Psalm 116, the Lord who hears his servant and saves them, is even from death, when they cry out. Each psalm highlights just a part of what God has given us. What we may say this morning has given us in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is God's loving love and faithfulness on display for us. When his son Jesus Christ came to die for us, take our sin to the cross, and to rise to new life for our sake. And you can take each of these psalms and the lesson that they teach and apply it also to what's laid out here before us this morning. God says that he will love and care for the humble and lowly. Well, the Lord's Supper is a meal that's laid out for the humble and lowly, that those who have no money, those who have nothing to purchase food and drink, may eat and be filled. Psalm 114 talked about God's provision in the wilderness. Well, here you have it, the bread of life offered for you. Psalm 115 talks about how God gives and gives and gives. Well, there's no greater way in which he has shown us how much he will give by giving his only beloved son for our salvation. Psalm 116 said, the Lord who hears his servant and saves him from death, well, here before you, you have a promise of eternal life, of salvation even from death in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then also know what these psalms and the Lord's Supper call us to do this morning. You know, we may start out saying like, yes, hallelujah, it's true and it's right in the abstract. But let each one of us also then confess this morning that it's true and right for me. That this is not God for just other people. This is God for me. But as you prepare to participate, even as you witness the supper, to prepare by recounting the goodness of God, not just in general, but his goodness toward you, and how these psalms may help you reflect on that, and how these psalms may help you say hallelujah. There's one more thing that we have to say. Did you notice the interesting shift in this psalm? No, it ends on those qualities, the God's covenant qualities for Israel, for God's people, right? His love towards us, God's people. But it started with an eye on the nations and all peoples, all you nations, all you peoples. And that kind of raises that question. Why should everyone praise the Lord because God has been good to Israel? Well, biblically, we may say that this psalm finds its fulfillment and the fact that God has always been working towards the salvation of the world through Israel. After Christ's resurrection, the gospel went out not just to the Israelites, not just to the Jews, but to all nations. And Paul also reminds us of this. This psalm is quoted in Romans 15 and saying, look, this is why I minister to the Gentiles as I do. Because it was already promised in the Psalms that the gospel would go out to all nations. That they all would praise the Lord. And so Psalm 117 has this amazing plan in mind. But not just as a brag of this is what the Lord is going to do, but as an invitation. An invitation. And also this morning to any one of you who do not know God's love and faithfulness towards you yet, consider these psalms, to consider what God has done, that you too may say hallelujah. But it's not just the plan that we may see. Even as we reflect on the health of saying hallelujah, we recognize that isn't it just more of that health coming out? You see, in almost every other area in life, we never want to keep praise for ourselves. Not only is it shared with whoever is worthy of the praise, whoever has shown us goodness, but we also just want to share it with people around us. Right? You've read a good book and you say, you got to read this. You're a fan of a team and you say, you got to cheer with me. You found a great recipe and you want to share with those who would be interested. You find a helpful reminder, a beautiful devotional, a wonderful passage of scripture, and you share it and send it to someone that they may appreciate it with you. What does us good is best enjoyed with someone who appreciates it with us. Let that highlight one thing for us this morning, that we have this beautiful thing that we come together and we may celebrate the Lord's Supper, but we don't just do it on our own. You get to share it with your brothers and sisters. You want to share something that's good, some hallelujah that may be sung, not just by yourself, but with your brother, with others. Look around you. God has made our joy complete by being not just with me, but with us all, with his body. But let Psalm 117, that short psalm with that big message, also be an encouragement to share your hallelujah with many others. So there are going to be others who do not know the Lord, who do not know his goodness yet. And you can't force them to come. You can't force them to see all the goodness of the Lord, but you can share with them something that you believe to be absolutely true, to be perfectly right, and a joy and a comfort. Not in the abstract, but as something that is for you. Not as a brag, but as an invitation. So let us sing. Hallelujah. Amen.